Okay, we're good, Eric? Okay. So this morning I would like to speak about the title of the song, that is, He Bought My Soul. We know that sin has separated us from God. Man needed someone to pay a specific price for his redemption. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 tells us, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. That blood would have to come from a perfect lamb without blemish. The Bible also tells us that it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. That is recorded in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. There was only one person who could meet God's requirement to be the sacrifice for our sins. Only one person could meet those requirements. Only one person who could be and was the perfect lamb without blemish. Only one person who could pay the price for our redemption. Only one person who could and did buy our souls. And we know that person was Jesus. This morning we want to take the truth of the following words personally. He bought my soul. This morning, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we want to consider how Jesus bought our souls and what really was the price that he paid, what it cost him to buy our souls. I just want to spend a couple of moments about Jesus leaving the glory of heaven. In order to get a more complete picture of what our salvation cost Jesus, we want to consider his life before coming to earth. We already know that Jesus left the glory of heaven to come to earth to buy our salvation. What did he leave? The book of Revelation tells us that heaven has gates of pearl with angels at each gate. The wall of the city is composed of jasper that is 72 yards thick. 72 yards thick. If I'm doing my math right, I think that comes out to like 216 feet. The wall of the city has 12 foundations, with each foundation composed of precious stone. 12 foundations of precious stones. Jasper, sapphire, chalcedony, emerald or garnet, sardonyx, carnelian or sardius, chrysolite, beryl, topaz, chrysoprasus, jacinth, and amethyst. The names of these gems are only an earthly representation of something heavenly. So actually, the foundation of the wall is more beautiful than what we can visualize from the names of these gems. The streets are made of pure gold. Imagine what that would cost down here. Streets are made of pure gold. Think of the price of 14 karat gold, and then you think pure gold. I believe it's 24 karat when it's pure gold. The streets are made of pure gold. Very hard to afford gold today. We'll be walking on it up there. But this is what Jesus left. The splendor and the radiance, the glory of God is so great that it lights up the entire city, so there is no need of a sun or the moon. Time is an eternal day up there because there is no light, no night, and you will never get tired in heaven. Imagine a river clear as crystal flowing from the throne of God and the tree of life bearing 12 varieties of fruit. Imagine leaving this awesome, incredible beauty of heaven and coming to a dirty, stinking manger, tell it like it is, to begin a life of suffering on earth, which would end in a near fatal beating, followed by a 6-hour crucifixion. I want to repeat that. Imagine leaving this awesome, incredible beauty of heaven and coming to a dirty, stinking manger to begin a suffering life on earth, which would end in a brutal, near fatal beating, followed by a 6-hour crucifixion. What about the glory of Jesus in his deity? Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 tells us, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 17 and then 19. "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him." Revelation chapter 19, verse 16. "And on his robe and on his thigh, he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Doesn't matter what's going on in politics today. We have an election coming up. Doesn't matter what's going on. Jesus is coming back soon, and he is going to reign forever and ever. No popular vote, no electoral college. He's coming back, and that's it. And he's going to reign forever and ever. I want to read to you Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.' Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever.' The four living creatures said, 'Amen,' and the elders fell down and worshiped." Then I want to read to you Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8. And this encompasses down from his glory. I'll be reading Philippians chapter 2 and verses 6 to 8. "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Jesus left the incredible, unimaginable beauty and glory of heaven, his throne, the worship of many thousands of angels, removed his glory, his majesty, and became a man. And not only became a man, he became a servant to man. He lived with miserable, sinful people. He had lovingly decided to pay the price for our sin and misery. Jesus knew what his life on earth would be like and how it would end with the mocking, the pulling out of his beard, the scourging, the crucifixion, and he willingly came anyway. He left heaven, all that we just described, to become not only a servant, but a suffering servant. He humbled himself and made himself of no reputation. Matthew chapter 13, verse 55 tells us Jesus was referred to as the carpenter's son. Not even his own identity referred to as the carpenter's son. They didn't say Jesus, the carpenter's son. They said the carpenter's son. Jesus was a carpenter too. But they said the carpenter's son. Talk about humility. John chapter 13 records that he washed the disciples' feet. He lived to serve man and then died so that man would not have to spend an eternity in hell. We owe Jesus so much. We owe him everything. He became sin so that he could save the sinner. He purchased our home and eternity in heaven. He left heaven so that one day we could live with him in heaven. And not for a fixed period of time, such as a vacation, but for all eternity in that incredibly beautiful place. What an incredible, undefined, unknown, infinite love he has for us. What was the price that Jesus paid to buy our souls? Let's review it. Jesus left heaven to become a suffering servant. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6 tells us, I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. The Son of God allowed man to spit on him. Man's disgusting saliva hurled into the face of Jesus. If someone spit in our face, how would we react? Jesus took it. The Creator allowed man to spit in his face. He bought your soul. He allowed man to pull out his beard, causing great pain, and his face to bleed. I can't imagine the pain of something like that. Jesus healed many sick, but no one put bandages on his wounds. They were left open to get infected. Who knows the fever that Jesus had when he was on the cross? Remember that his brutally beaten back was pressed and grinding against the dirty bark of a tree, causing infection. What do you get with infection? A fever. And he was crucified with dirty wrought iron nails, speaking of infection. Isaiah 52, verse 14. His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. The one who created and formed man and gave him facial features didn't even look human anymore. He bought the soul. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 53, and we're going to read verses 1 to 9 and then 11. Isaiah 53 and 1 to 9. Isaiah 53, beginning at verse 1. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. He was chastised that we may have peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opens not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Verse 11, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. In song he is known as the man of sorrows, tears, an agony. Jesus comes to earth to die for the salvation of man. And how does man react to this? Man despises him, rejects him, spits in his face, slaps him, brutally beats him, condemns him to death, and kills him. Speaking of Jesus, someone once said, he came to pay a debt he didn't owe, because we owed a debt we couldn't pay. Keep in mind that the same hands that created the universe were crucified. As the hymn at the cross states, amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree, love beyond measure. The pity, the grace, the love of God shown through Jesus' suffering cannot be measured or even imagined. He bought your soul. Jesus allowed man to judge him, and man condemned the Son of God to death. There was no justice in Jesus' trial. It was a mockery of a trial. Now, speaking of how the trial of Jesus was a mockery and how it was actually against the Jewish law. The Jewish law said the trials were supposed to begin with attempts to free, say things to free. In other words, bring up evidence to free the person being charged with some criminal activity. Jesus' trial started with accusations. They wanted Jesus dead so bad, they wanted to get rid of him so bad, they went against the Mosaic law. And Jesus took it all. It was a mockery of a trial. Jesus knew all this, and he took it all. A murderer, Barabbas, was released instead of him. He allowed Roman soldiers to beat him until his back became a mass of torn tissue and until he bled profusely. It's possible that some of his teeth were knocked out during the scourging. I'm sure that the Roman soldiers didn't care where they struck Jesus. He was brutally beaten so that we could receive healing. He was beaten and we get healing. The one who created humanity allowed man to brutally beat him until his body was torn open. He bought your soul. He who formed a hand allowed man to slap him in the face. The one who created the tongue, which should be used to worship him, is now subjected to hate-filled mocking and scorn. Jesus came with a message of love and hope, redemption, forgiveness, but he allowed himself to be mocked by foul-mouthed men. He allowed man to forcefully put a crown of thorns on his head. The one who was called King of Kings and Lord of Lords had a crown of thorns on his head. He who created blood and knowing how necessary it is for life allowed himself to bleed profusely. He bled to death. As he continually bled, life was continually leaving him. He just felt the life leaving him. He bought your soul. The one who created the nervous system and allowed himself to experience pain so intense and so extreme that his body contorted in agony. He bought your soul. He allowed man to nail him to a tree that he created. He cursed the fig tree which wasn't bearing fruit so that it withered and died, but did not curse the tree on which he would be crucified. He knew which tree it was. He is God. He created the tree. He created the tree on which he would be crucified. He created the tree on which he would be crucified. Who knows how many times he may have passed the tree, but would not curse it. Viewing the crucifixion, we see that the hands which created the vastness of outer space and held stars were crucified. He who was timeless and holds time in his hands permitted a 6-hour period in his life when he would experience extreme, brutal, intense suffering and agony. Verse 9 of Isaiah 53, he made his grave with the wicked. Jesus was crucified between two thieves as if he were a criminal. Jesus was innocent, but he died like a criminal. Jesus could have stopped all his suffering. He could have called just one of the many thousands of angels who worship him to destroy all those who were inflicting his pain and suffering. But he didn't allow even one angel to help him. There were angels at the foot of the cross, horrified at what was going on. And Jesus saw the angels, and knowing that they could have stopped, and Jesus could have stopped all the suffering and pain, he didn't allow the angels to stop all the suffering and pain. They could have put to death all those who were inflicting the pain and mocking Jesus. But Jesus didn't allow it. This was the same Jesus who was in the beauty and glory of heaven at the throne of God, surrounded by the glory of his angels. He left his high and lofty position, subjected himself to the cruelty and hatred of man, and became obedient unto death. And he willingly went to the cross. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 states, who for the joy that was set before him. What joy do you see in being crucified and getting killed on the cross? Jesus saw the joy of our salvation. He joyed in a crucifixion because of us. Now tell me that isn't incredible, infinite love. This is how Jesus bought our souls. This was the price that Jesus paid to buy our souls. And make it personal this morning. I want to read something to you, which I have over here by the piano. The title of our message this morning was, He Bought My Soul. I want to read you the words to the song. Very impressive. He bought your soul. There's a cross for everyone to bear, but there's a heaven for each soul to share. There's a place in heaven waiting me. I got it through his death at Calvary. Each drop of blood bought me a million years. A soul was born each time he shed a tear. He loosed the chains that fettered you and me. He bought my soul through death at Calvary. Though days are long and often filled with care, I talk to him, and with each wondrous prayer, he bids me stay and gives new strength to me. He bought my soul through death at Calvary. Each year that rolls, I'm nearer to his side. I know that Christ will always be my guide. I breathe his name each time I see a tree. On one he bought my soul at Calvary. Make it personal this morning. He bought my soul. He bought your soul. Now we're going to begin the sacred part of the service, the Holy Supper. Hoping those online could see.